So I'll talk about the normalization of background independent string filthy reaction. And this is going to be a very simple but important ingredient in the check of the conjectures of SEN. The way I plan to proceed is to give a brief introduction, then briefly review the background independent open string field theory formulation, then consider its behavior in turn first far off shell and then near on shell. And in the second part, we'll fix the normalization by comparison with cubic open string field theory. And finally, I'll conclude. So this part is really for the non-experts, and it's been repeated many times in the talks that we have had and probably will be repeated again. The M plus one dimensional world volume field theory of a Dirichlet membrane of bosonic string theory contains a scalar whose mass square appears to be negative. And this has come to be known as the tachyon. I should mention that I'll really talk about only bosonic string theory during my entire talk. And there are some of the things that I talk about have generalization for superstrings, but I'll not mention them. The perturbative vacuum described by the first quantized theory is unstable. That's the conclusion of having a tachyonic field in the spectrum. And this Dirichlet membrane is sitting at the maximum of the string potential, and which is probably somewhat ill-defined concept. A better defined concept is the effective potential of the tachyonic scalar field. The question that people have been interested in is the following, is to know the shape of this potential away from the perturbative vacuum. It has emerged that string field theory is a promising framework to answer this and other non-perturbative issues. Based on his pioneering work on non-supersymmetric excitation of superstrings, the following conjectures were crystallized by SEN. The potential of the tachyonic scalar field has a local minimum. The minimum, at this minimum, the potential energy of the tachyon exactly cancels the energy of the Dirichlet brain that we started with. This minimum also describes the vacuum of the closed string sector, which in turn implies that there are no perturbative open string excitations around this configuration. And further, there are solitonic lump solutions of all codimensions of the tachyon equations of motion, which represent various Dirichlet brains for lower values of n. These conjectures have been checked by various methods in the wall sheet conformal field theory approach by these people and others whom it's not possible to mention. There's a lot of work which have not been mentioned in these transparencies. Then in the cubic open string field theory formulation, using a numerical scheme called the level truncation approximation, which was devised by these people, and it has been checked to fantastic accuracy by the work of SEN and collaborators and Mueller and Taylor and various others. It's also been checked in an effective field theory of the tachyon in the large B field background using techniques of Gopakumar et al. These are the so-called non-commutative tachyons which were verified by these authors. Apart from that, there are some toy models which really approximate the real world quite well. One of them is the periodic string theory, which were devised in 1987. This is in some sense a very exotic discretization of the string world sheet. Instead of the usual triangulation that one considers, here one considers a discretization of the world sheet by a Bethe lattice-like structure, which in this particular diagram is a two-adic discretization, where it generalizes to arbitrary p plus 1 nearest neighbors in the Bethe lattice. In this approach, when you discretize in this way, the boundary of the world sheet turns out to be not the usual circle, but rather the periodic number field. And this, in turn, enables us to calculate the exact effective field theory of the tachyons, where one can check these conjectures. And in fact, this periodic string theory turns out to be more closely related to the real string field theory, as was shown by these people. There are also toy models which were devised by Barton Zweibach and Minahan and Zweibach. And finally, it has been verified in the background independent open string field theory formulation. Which I'll now review. This string field theory was proposed by Witten and developed by various people. So the ingredients that one needs to define the string field theory are the following. First, you need a two-dimensional field theory defined on a disk, which represents the string world sheet with the standard flat metric. This is the case that we'll consider. This describes the trivial closed string vacuum, but it's possible to generalize this. The string field is a ghost number one state in the total Hilbert space of ghost and matter. And we also need the following operator, which is B minus one acting on the string field phi. And phi and this V are the corresponding vertex operators. If you use a set of basis vectors in this Hilbert space of ghost number one, then you can expand the string field as follows. Then these coefficients in this expansion are the dynamical variables of string field theory. These are also the couplings on the world sheet field theory. Finally, we need to deform the world sheet theory by the boundary perturbation by this operator V that was described in the last transparency. And correlation functions are defined in the usual way with this action. These are two correlation functions of the two-dimensional field theory. The string field, the definition of the string field theory action is a little implicit. It's determined from the following relation. D of this background independent string field theory relation is given in terms of a correlation function, a two-point correlation function, which is integrated over the boundary of the disk. So the first one is related to the field on whose dependence you want the action is given in terms of these dynamical variables, and the dependence of this action on a particular dynamical variable, you write the corresponding basis states here, and there is a QB anticommutator of the fields phi, and this correlation function has to be evaluated and integrated over the disk. Then finally, you can integrate this relation to get the background independent action. Here, BI does not stand for Bordenfeld, of course. There is an undetermined normalization constant, which will describe how to determine. The other ingredients in this, that this B, QB is the BRS operator. It's defined because the bulk theory that we choose is the free theory, and here the BRS operator is well defined. There's some other technical problems which I'll not go into to actually describe it in the presence of this boundary perturbation. The advantage of this formulation is that it's formally background independent. There's also an additive ambiguity in defining this action which will not be important for our purpose. It's basically related to setting the zero of the potential and can be done according to the convenience. So to determine the tachyon dependent part of the string field theory action, we deform the boundary part of the theory by the tachyon field, which is the standard form in ghost number one Hilbert space, C times the tachyon field. So V, of course, is just the tachyon field built out of the matter field X. Then we consider first the behavior far off shell. In this formalism, it turns out to be very easy to describe by taking the profile of the tachyon given by its Taylor expansion. So there is a constant term, there is a quadratic pieces and various other things. If we start with the Dirichlet membrane, then in this case we can consider this particular perturbation by a quadratic piece in the last m minus n directions, and n can range from 0 up to 24. Since this is just a quadratic perturbation, this action, the two-dimensional action, can be still solved exactly, and it was done by Witten many years ago, and he found the following answers. So this is given in terms of the partition function of the world sheet theory, and it has an exact expansion whose U and A dependence are completely determined, and the background independent action is given in terms of the partition function Z. More recently, it was realized by these authors, Kutasov, Marino, and Moore, that it has all the properties to check the conjectures of Sen. First of all, the perturbative vacuum of this action, which describes the Dirichlet membrane, is at A equal to 0 and U equal to 0. There is another extremum, which is looks rather singular in these coordinates, which is at A equal to infinity and U equal to 0. The difference between the action between these two extrema is the normalization constant K. There are also other extrema which correspond to the lower dimensional solitonic n-branes, which are given by taking this sum of these URs equal to infinity, and A is determined in terms of U by extremizing the action. The energy of these configurations are given by 2 pi times m minus n times k, which is the expected energy of a n-brane, and these exactly are the properties that one needs to check the conjectures, provided this normalization constant of the string field theory action is the tension of the Dirichlet membrane that we start with. I'd like to emphasize that these conjectures are not really proven until the normalization constant is checked to be the tension of the membrane that one starts with. So to fix the tension, we'll consider not the behavior of the tachyon far off shell, but rather in the other limit, which is near on shell. And there we expand it in the usual fashion, in the plane wave basis, with the phi k supported on the near on shell momenta k square, approximately equal to 1. The quadratic term is easy to evaluate. It requires the evaluation of the correlation functions in the undeformed theory. And it's the result is expected. You get the propagator for the tachyon with the expected mass. And however, the cubic term requires the evaluation of the correlators in the presence of deformations. And since the theory requires that you evaluate the correlation functions as well as integrate them over the boundary of the disk, there are operators which collide. And since we are describing the perturbations near on shell, which corresponds to marginal and irrelevant operators, these are not precisely defined because of ultraviolet ambiguities. In particular, if you just look at the form of the action, you'll see that there are two things that contribute to this. There are two things that contribute to the action in this limit. One is the deformation of the BRS operator in the presence of this perturbation. And secondly, although apparently this looks like a two-point function, in the presence of deformation, if we expand as a perturbation, we'll find first a correction from the three-point function. And both these things, there are difficulty in determining it. If you try to evaluate it exactly by following the conformal perturbation theory techniques which were developed by Sen, you'll find that you don't get the expected result. So there is something remains to be understood there in evaluating this action. Fortunately, there is a different way in which we can proceed to evaluate the cubic term, at least in this limit. That requires the following observation, which is part of folklore now. That whenever the wall sheet action describes a conformal field theory, the corresponding string field configuration is a solution of the equations of motion. So the string field theory equations of motion are proportional to the beta functions of the deformed two-dimensional wall sheet field theory. And we use the following result of Affleck and Ludwig in boundary conformal field theory. They showed that if in some basis you find that the operators of the conformal field theory can be expanded as lambda I times vi, where vi's are primaries of dimension hi nearly equal to 1, so they are almost marginal operators, which obey the following OPE relations, then the beta function is given by a linear piece in lambda I, which is just the expected one from the dimension, and then a quadratic piece, which is Cijk, lambda j, lambda k. Fortunately, the evaluation of beta function to this order does not suffer from any ultraviolet ambiguity. So we can use this observation to calculate the cubic piece of the string field theory action for nearly marginal operators. So in our case, we have Vi to be e to the ikx with the dimension nearly 1. And the OPE relations are also well known. So just substitute that and calculate the equation of motion using the beta function expression that we just saw in the last transparency. And this is the answer. So this can be, from this we can find the background independent string field theory action for near on-shell tachyon. And there is a quadratic piece. And here is the cubic piece that we just managed to determine using this observation. So there is still the undetermined constant, which we'd like to determine by comparing with first quantized theory result. But instead, we can also compare with the cubic open string field theory action, which in which this constant has been determined. And the advantage is that in this process, we'll get the at least the lowest order field redefinition of the two string field theories. So the cubic string field theory action was is of the Chern-Simons type, and it's the following. It's 2 pi square Tm is the overall constant, and Tm is the tension of the Dirichlet membrane. There is a quadratic piece which is given by phi qb phi. Oh, there's a typo here. And a cubic piece which is determined in terms of some specific conformal maps, some of which appeared in the last talk of Ashok. The string field, as usual, is can be expanded in terms of the conformal field theory basis. So in this case, we have expanded in the plane wave basis. And these are the dynamical variables are chi, defined by chi k here. And again, since we are considering near on-shell tachyons, k square is roughly equal to 1. So it is easy to evaluate the near on-shell tachyon dependence of this action by using the explicit form of the conformal transforms. And the answer is here. So this we have to compare with the answer that we got from background independent string field theory. If we compare the quadratic pieces, we find the lowest order field redefinition that relates the two tachyon fields of the two formulations of string field theory. It's given by chi k, which is in the cubic string field theory, in terms of phi k as square root of k by Tm and a factor of 1 by 2 pi here. This k still remains undetermined. There are corrections coming from derivatives terms that have been ignored because we are considering only near on-shell tachyons. And also, there are terms which are higher order in phi. If we now compare the cubic terms of the two theory, it turns out that the result is as expected. The normalization constant k is exactly equal to the tension of the Dirichlet membrane that we started with. This is exactly what was needed to prove the conjectures in the framework of background independent open string field theory. So this is the summary of my talk, that the normalization constant in background independent open string field theory is the tension of the Dirichlet membrane that we start with. This was determined, as I'll just briefly recall, by calculating the background independent string field theory action from for near on-shell tachyons and comparing with the action of cubic open string field theory. So this is a final transparency with some comments. It is straightforward to incorporate a constant NS B field background in this formulation. And indeed, this was the NS B field dependence was determined long time ago by K.K. Lee and Witten. And this can also be used to fix the normalization by comparing with the Bonnenfeld form of the action. And this, again, gives the expected result that the normalization constant of this background-independent Knoeppel string field theory is the tension of the Dirichlet brand that we started with. It also gives the effective tachyon effect, the effective tachyon field theory action in the limit of large B field in this formulation, which again is the expected result that the ordinary products in the tachyon potential is replaced by the star product. And this action also has a rather interesting property that the potential part and the kinetic part, the dependence on the x is exactly the same in this action. This was explicitly checked by Kornalba and Okuyama, that you get the Bonnenfeld action and also the star product as expected. I also mentioned that there are ultraviolet ambiguities in defining the background independent string field theory action properly, and a very straightforward way to determine the action by using the conformal perturbation theory techniques does not give the expected result. So there is something lacking in our understanding of this background independent open string field theory. So it would be nice to address those questions and sort it out. Then another question that would be interesting to find out is the exact effective action for the tachyon field in this formalism of background independent open string field theory. And this should not be too difficult, because as was shown by Gerasimov and Shatashvili, that this background independent open string field theories are rather closely related to periodic string theories. And in periodic string theories, one can actually find the exact effective action for the tachyon field. And here the number of parameters that you need to find the effective action for the tachyon field turns out to be just right to find it exactly. Finally, since we consider boundary perturbations, there is a very special class of boundary perturbations called the integrable boundary perturbations, in which a lot of work has been done, and the technology and exact results from the integrable models can perhaps shed some light on in understanding the background independent string field theory for at least a large class of string field configurations. And very recently a paper has appeared which considers this approach. And finally, there are work in generalizing this approach to superstrings, which have been discussed by other authors and probably will be discussed in subsequent talks. Thank you.
Time for questions.
I have a rather naive question, because looking back at when time was for fields and particles and quantum electrodynamics, and Schwinger and DeWitt and others already spelt out for abelian and non-abelian gauges the functional approach, Green's functions, correlations, the action functional, the derivatives of them, and so on. But somewhere around in mid-70s, I mean, the non-renormalizability problems, the infinity problems, and so on, shifted attention to string theory. Now, string theory is importing more and more of the techniques of standard physics back into string theory, including this whole functional calculus of Green's functions and several correlation functions, and so on. But wouldn't the same difficulties again arise? And if not, why would they not arise? Instead of the point we have strings and higher dimensional objects, and hence we need another quantity called tension to keep them around.
As far as I see, this is not really relevant to just my talk, but to
it's a general, in sort general of a naive observation. Perhaps,
can be addressed to anybody.
Yes, but that similar difficulties would perhaps arise, and if not, why not?
Yeah, and okay, string field
to avoid
theory
them,
is,
one
string field
to string
theory is
theory.
Indeed a very difficult object, and the proper understanding, one has to go a long way for that. But the finiteness and other nice properties of string theory that you're talking about are all embedded in first quantized theory. So maybe we can discuss later about this, and you can discuss with others who can give better answers than I can.
Any other questions? If there are no other questions, then let us conclude this session by thanking all the speakers of this session once more.
Okay, announcement time. The special lecture program on Wednesday, January.